Welcome to the Zoe Show. Welcome to the big episode 50. We made it to 50 episodes, ladies and gentlemen, for Wednesday, April 12th, 2017. How's it going, everybody? How are you? Welcome to the Zoe Show with your host, Enzo. We're going to talk some wrestling. We're going to talk some dirt sheets. We're going to talk some Raw. We're going to talk some SmackDown. We're going to talk some Talking Smack. And we're going to talk a little bit of 205 Live, since, of course, I had to catch that. Without further ado, you can go check out our sponsors at Our Fucking Show, facebook.com/Our Fucking Show. And of course, Unbroken Minds Clothing. The website is unbrokenminds.clothing to get all your clothing needs. And maybe someday they'll get some jogging pants or shorts, because I'd like to get a pair of those. And guys, if you are longtime Zoe Show fans or new to the show, please listen to the end of the podcast, because there is a special announcement, big special announcement, big 50th episode special announcement. You know, I wasn't planning anything for the 50th episode at all, really. But then I said, you know what? It's the 50th episode, and I think now's the time to do it. So big announcement at the end of this 50th episode, ladies and gentlemen. Moving along. So Raw, you guys caught Raw. Out of Nassau Coliseum, looks like a total dump. In this place looks like a dump. And it started off, we're doing the superstar shakeup, and you know, I like that the wrestlers, they just showed up. We've seen the drafts, we've seen the random, the balls and the thing, and Vinnie Mac picks a number or whatever. We've seen it, and I enjoyed that they just showed up. I just wish they would have explained it to us, like, because Miz and Maurice just showed up, and then it's like, oh, is this how it's gonna work? We didn't really get it until, like, other stars started showing up. I started seeing a yawn right away, 2 minutes in. And then we started saying, you know, okay, I get it. But it took some time. It wasn't really clear. The Miz and Maurice stuff obviously was cool. Dean came out and thought they were John Cena. It was pretty fun. He was pretty cute. Dean Ambrose is good at cutting cute promos that don't really matter or go anywhere. I'm sorry, I still don't take this guy seriously at all. Then after that, we had the New Day against the Revival. No Kofi Kingston for the New Day. A little rough. The New Day without Kofi. It's going to be rough without him. If they just continue making that go. But they're on SmackDown. Big spoiler from SmackDown is that the New Day moved to SmackDown. Then we had Austin Aries against TJ Perkins. And finally, since they realized that, man, people, the crowd hates TJ Perkins. He's not a likable guy. I've been saying this for maybe 50 episodes in. I've been saying that TJ Perkins is not a likable guy. They finally turned him heel. And it got over because they don't like TJ Perkins. He's not likable. His face is a real face you want to punch, a real smug face coming out of TJ Perkins. So that was cool. And then they had this Seth Rollins Samoa Joe angle, which is, I mean, it's good enough. It's just, there's no originality to it. They're just feuding a little. It feels exactly like the Samoa Joe against Sami Zayn feud, but at least I want to watch those matches where Seth Rollins against Samoa Joe. I'm not that interested. Then we had a great matchup of Charlotte Flair against Nia Jax. Like, come on. What the botches? Nia Jax almost killed Flero after a shoulder breaker. And Nia Jax is clearly getting a push, because then after, when they announced, like, Alexa Bliss came out and all these new Mickey James, the new divas or women that came to Raw, Nia Jax annihilated, just could destroy them. So they're giving her a push. She looks bigger than ever. Her diet of chips, hot dogs, and ice cream is, you know, clearly working out for her. And I mean, the other women who have to keep themselves in top condition, which is a very hard thing to do, especially on the road, must fucking hate the fact that she gets to eat whatever the hell she wants. And don't sit there thinking, oh no, it's her body type. No, she eats whatever the fuck she wants. So catering is there. She's grabbing the cookies. She's grabbing the hot dogs. She's grabbing the chips. It's obvious. And all these other women have to just, you know, watch everything they eat all the time. And they must hate her for it. They must. I would really hate her. If I had to keep myself in top physical condition, I have to sit here and eat fucking shitty celery all the time and hummus and, you know, watch my calories and watch my carb intake, and she gets to eat whatever the hell she wants and she gets a push, I get pissed off. Yeah, hopefully she does it, like, outside, and, like, she just gorges on McDonald's outside of the catering, you know? If she's putting it in everybody's face, just sitting there eating Doritos, I'm sure they're going to hate her for it. Guys, I'm going to be yawning this whole podcast. I'm pretty tired. Like, I had a full day at work, got to do the podcast, got to go to the gym. It's exhausting. It's going to add up to that big announcement at the end of the podcast. A little tease, a little foreshadowing. After this, I saw the club with Primo and Epico against Cesaro, Sheamus, and the Hardy Boys, because I think I watched Raw in the wrong, in wrong parts, basically. This match, it's very clear and very disappointing that the Hardy Boys are no longer broken. Much like my sponsor, Unbroken Minds Clothing, they are unbroken. Jeff is just Jeff, and Matt is like, I don't know what Matt is. He comes out, he does the version 1 logo, then he does the wonderful, then he does the delete, but not really. Then during the match, he tries to get the delete over, but the crowd's like, but you're not broken, so we're not going to chant delete. It's hurting the broken gimmick, and it's hurting the Team Extreme. Like, which one are you? And on Twitter, somebody tweeted him that, like, who are you? Are you Team Extreme? Are you broken? Which one are you doing? And he said that he's having a fight in his vessel. So I don't think Matt Hardy knows where it's going either yet. And it's disappointing. I don't think that they're going to do the broken stuff. It's probably the most disappointing thing. You know, like, they're using them for their greatest hits. Matt, he's in the last couple of years, he's made his money outside of the ring, not wrestling. Him and Jeff have made their money, have continued their legacy, reinvented themselves by not wrestling. The wrestling has not gotten them over. And WWE is just putting them in wrestling matches. And it's like, that is not why you guys signed them. I know you signed, I don't know why you fucking signed them then. It's confusing, because you signed them for Broken Matt, but you're not doing it, and you're just putting them in matches like everybody else. So it's kind of, maybe it's just to reintroduce them to the universe. Vince always thinks that you have to reintroduce them, remind them of who they were in WWE, and, you know, what happened in TNA didn't matter, but I mean, Samoa Joe's there, AJ Styles is there, Bobby Roode is there, and Broken Matt is there, so it's confusing, and it's hurting both sides of the gimmick. It's hurting Team Extreme, and it's hurting the Broken Matt gimmicks, okay? Because the fans don't know what to do, really. And I mean, Jeff looks good, and that my fear is that Vince sees Jeff as the star, and eventually just makes Jeff the breakout star. Because he clearly doesn't have an interest in the broken gimmick. And is it Vince that doesn't have the interest? Or is it this TNA lawsuit that's looming around the broken gimmick? Who knows? Then I saw Finn Balor against Hardbody Mahal. Apparently Finn Balor was injured during this match, which is just like, man, he's getting pretty injury prone. Maybe because he's a smaller guy. Maybe because Hardbody hits hard, hits fast. He's brutal, okay? Hardbody Mahal is not somebody you don't want to mess with, all right? He gets great heat, he gets great television time, and now he's gonna be on SmackDown, and I think he's gonna really flourish on SmackDown. It's time to put a title on Mahal. He said it in Talking Smack, Hardbody Mahal. He came in there and he said, listen, nobody works harder than me, nobody's improved more than I have. I've been here for 5 years, and I think it's time for me to be a champion. And I believe he is. Give him, you know, it's hard because there's no lower card title anymore. The U.S. Championship is the main title. There is no lower card, really. You're not going to give the U.S. title. Sorry about that, guys. I just will not stop yawning. I'm exhausted. Speaking of Hardbody Mahal, there is a clock on this run that he's having with his spectacular body. Because when will he get busted for steroids? You know, you take the steroids, you wait until you get busted. But hopefully in the amount of time that you have between taking the steroids and getting busted, you can make enough money. Because that's clearly what he's doing, is that he's making enough money to be on TV. And then once he gets busted, it's like, ah, well, at least I was able to cash in, you know. Then we had Sami Zayn against The Miz. A good win for Sami, because Miz, he came in hot coming in. There was a good, I liked their backstage segment also. Sami's very much himself. Then we had this very long, very Attitude Era-ish Braun Strowman against Roman Reigns segment, where Braun completely destroyed Roman. You know, there was some stunts. If you guys didn't see it, go check it out. It was good because, like, a lot of times when you're watching that video screen live, you're like, oh God, this is brutal. But this time, I know that the crowd was into it because they were chanting for Roman to die. They hate Roman Reigns and they were happy that he was getting his ass kicked. So that part didn't make sense, because last week he shows up as a heel and said, this is my yard now. And the week later, you're putting him in this ultra sympathetic, ultra baby face angle where you told us that the crowd hates him. Like, is he a heel? Is he a, what is this? What is going on? You put this extremely elaborate, extremely complicated backstage segment where Braun completely destroys Roman and you give him all this babyface sympathy and the crowd is chanting that, thank you, Braun. There, when he got finally wheeled out into the ambulance, the crowd was doing the na 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 na, hey, goodbye to your ultra babyface sympathetic Roman Reigns. So it didn't make any sense. You guys could also spot 3.0 in there, reacting to Braun throwing the dummy, because it was obviously a dummy in the stretcher, down the thing. And the Braun Strowman lifting of the ambulance, come on, guys, this isn't the 70s, 80s anymore. It did not look good. It looked super corny. But I liked the segment. It just, you know, it made no sense. But it was fun. At least they're trying fun stuff. It was fun to watch. It's not like I would change the channel while watching that segment. But the crowd is just like saying, why are you still trying to push him as a face? Especially like last week, you pushed him as a heel. You made it, make him be Taker. The crowd ate him up and he told them, fuck you, this is my yard. So he was Mr. Cool Heel and now he's Mr. Super Babyface. So it's a disconnect with what they want to do with him. Then we had the main event, Kevin Owens versus Dean Ambrose. I did not think that Kevin Owens needed to lose this. I understand that Dean Ambrose is coming to Raw and they want to show him as being hot, because look, let's face the facts. Dean Ambrose is your number one champion on Raw. Brock Lesnar was not even on Raw. There's no mention of Brock Lesnar. Your Universal Champion was nowhere to be seen, which is very weird. Very fucking weird. And on SmackDown, Orton didn't do much as the world champion either. The U.S. title was the main focus of SmackDown. And on Raw, the IC title versus the U.S., like you had the Intercontinental Champion against the U.S. Champion. But in my eyes, I mean, the U.S. Champion is higher than the IC, because Dean Ambrose, he hasn't done much with this belt. Like, how do you take a guy who was in the WWE on WrestleMania pre-show in a throwaway match against Baron Corbin that nobody cared about, and put him in the main event of Raw, make him beat your former champion who is carrying your show? And not only carrying the show, but, you know, he was on the main card on Mania, had a good match against Jericho, and he loses against Dean Ambrose. I thought that was shitty, and I don't think that Jericho needed to get over on him at the end of it, because Jericho's going bye-bye. And like right before Kevin goes to SmackDown and goes to go carry SmackDown now, you bury him pretty big. And I don't know, I didn't like it. And it was a weird main event. Like, why is Dean Ambrose in your main event? I think, like, Raw is just so long, they don't give a shit about what the main event is, actually. So, I mean, that was Raw, guys. Overall, a lot of skipping. It was, like I said, this is what happens when they give the belts to part-timers. And it's like, so there is no main angle. But the shakeup was fun. It's fun to see the new names come in, I guess, and see, oh, let's see what these new matchups are going to be. But I like that. I like the SmackDown shakeup better than I like the Raw shakeup. So let's talk about SmackDown Live. I can't go match by match because, to be honest, guys, I had it on in the background. I skipped a lot. It was a quick glance, I would say, me watching SmackDown Live this week. It was a quick glance, okay? The open, right away, we know Kevin Owens is on SmackDown. He's the U.S. champion. He's fighting on the Raw pay-per-view payback for the U.S. title. So I'm guessing we know that Kevin's going to keep the title, or Jericho wins the title and shows up on SmackDown. It's a little confusing because, like, what happens if Jericho wins the U.S. title? Does he bring it to Raw? Or is he gone? Or is it just like inevitable that he's going to lose? So that's a bit confusing. But then somehow Sami Zayn follows Kevin Owens everywhere and he's there. Kevin can't believe it. And I like the segment with him, Baron Corbin, AJ Styles. As soon as you saw them, you're like, oh, these are fun matchups that we haven't seen in a while. And then after that, you had Randy Orton in like a pointless match. The title here, like I said, guys, the world title. They don't know what to do with Orton as the champion, because the U.S. title seems to be the main focus, because they had a number one contendership for the U.S. title as the main event, not the WWE title. And it was an important match, good match. And AJ Styles is now the number one contender for the U.S. championship. And like a couple months ago, here are your two former champions, right? Here's AJ Styles, the former WWE World Champion, and Kevin Owens, the former Universal Champion, and they're both in the U.S. title hunt, but it's your main event. So it's very confusing where they place the titles, where they just decide, oh, now the U.S. title is going to be the number one title because Kevin is holding it. They put him in the main event, but they bury him in the Raw main event. So it's all this fucking no consistency whatsoever, it seems. Like, none whatsoever. The U.S. title is the main title. You know, Mojo Rawley had a match. Gronk was there again. It's enough. It's enough. Like, I know they're in Boston, so at least Gronk is an automatic babyface super over. Get that. But Mojo Rawley, nobody cares. Nobody cares. But guess who had another good showing on SmackDown Live, guys? Guess who once again proved that if you take a couple steroids, it's not so bad? Hard Body Mahal. Okay? I'm going to put him in the Mahal of Fame. Okay? Hard Body. He's on SmackDown, and he's killing it. I also caught SmackDown Live, and I told you, he killed on it. He killed this too. So going to 205 Live. So the last time that my boy, Big Magic Shane Matthews, the guy that I manage, right, was on, had a match. It was NXT an NXT TV taping in Dallas. And when it happened, it was a taping. So he told me all about it. We knew all about it. He told us it went well. So, you know, it was okay. It was exciting and fun. But at the same time, you knew it was coming. This, having it live, I was nervous. I know he was nervous. And having it live was a whole different experience. And basically, Big Magic was Johnny Ocean and he faced Rich Swann. Even got himself a little heat in. Obviously, the loudest man in that ring. And you got a question, like, he's so loud. And we always figured, I guess the wrestlers are loud, but the mics don't pick it up. No, they're just not loud. They don't yell enough or whatever, because Corey Graves and Tom Phillips did a good job putting him over. Great little match. I don't want to dwell on it for too long because, like, I'm super biased, right? Like, I can't go and analyze his matches because I'm just super biased, obviously. So all I have to say is I'm extremely proud. It was an amazing experience. And, you know, hopefully we see more of Big Magic. Hopefully we see more of 3.0 in WWE. And we just got to hold on for the ride, the ultimate thrill ride, as we like to call it. But I really enjoyed it. That was his first one in a big arena, you know, in the Boston Garden, famous arena. And fucking Rich Swann, man. It was cool. I did catch some of the rest of 205 Live, if you want to talk about 205 Live a little bit. TJ Perkins as a heel already. Is that something happens when, oh, we want to push him as a face, but the crowd hates him, so let's turn him heel. But it doesn't make him a good heel. He sucked as a face because he just sucks. And now he's a heel. He sucks as a heel because he just sucks. It's like the Bollywood boys. They weren't booing them because they didn't like them as characters. They booed them because they didn't like them as wrestlers, as characters, sorry, as everything. And now they changed the Bollywood boys to heels. We're still booing them because we hate them, but it's because we hate them because they suck. It's not because, we think they're heels or whatever. So I didn't like TJ Perkins as a heel. He cut a backstage promo. It sucked. He goes, it's like playing tennis court without a racket. No, play... it's like playing, see how that line doesn't just roll off your tongue. It's like a difficult line to get out. The line is, being in the cruiserweight division was like playing tennis without a net. But that's not a normal line that you would deliver. So it didn't sound natural. Him being a heel doesn't sound natural. There's nothing natural about TJ Perkins, to be honest. So I think he just has no clue. I'll tell you somebody who does have a clue though. As a heel on 205 Live. That's Johnny Ocean, ladies and gentlemen. You do the Phoenix Splash into the ocean. I love the name. And he got that crowd to chant once again. They chanted, "Who are you?" But it's because he got them off their asses. They were bored before that. Fucking Brian Kendrick, Whoo, this Tozawa Brian Kendrick gimmick, there's nothing to it, eh? Like, nobody cares. It's unbelievable. It's failing, is what it is. So, moving along, the dirt. I like to talk a little bit of dirt on this show. This is how this show started. The show started really with me just talking dirt sheets, analyzing tweets, you know, stuff like that. That got to be a lot of work, analyzing the tweets and recordings and quoting people. Like this Del Rio video, I wanted to chop it up and clip a clips and analyze it, but fuck, it takes so much time. So I gave up on that. This Del Rio video, if you guys haven't seen it yet, Shane Hawk, he's like the Zosho, I don't know, what would you call it? Like if somebody works at a library, you know, and gets you all the information. What do you call that? Anyways, he sent me the video of Del Rio just plastered, just talking about how Triple H has a small penis and they want him back in the WWE, and he just sounds so bitter. It's unbelievable. He sounds like a fool, and she's just there like a puppy dog, not saying anything. She's still employed. I want to remind everybody that Paige is still employed by the WWE. Meanwhile, she's in videos where her husband, or soon to be husband, I'm not sure if they got married yet, is just trashing them, talking about how Hunter has a small penis and all this stuff, and it's pretty fucking ridiculous. And he's not backing down from it, because he posted other Twitter remarks, and it's just, it's a mess. Like, it's enough, Del Rio. We know you have, like, I don't know if you have problems, but you're not just drunk. You're sniffling a lot. We know you're doing a little bit of the cocaine. And then Paige, like, she continues to add fuel to the fire. Like, she posted something. This is the most recent thing that she did. Paige posted on Twitter, catch Total Divas, you might see me in it, a bit of me in it, like how she's not on the show anymore, like they edited out her stuff. But yeah, because dude, you're a ticking time bomb. Like, it's always something. You just had this huge leak with all of these things where you forced NXT to change all their titles because you had somebody coming on the title, like a fucking disgrace, a degenerate. And you just keep on adding fuel to the fire. You're not helping yourself. You know, you're not doing yourself any favors with these videos, these periscopes of your drunk husband walking around Manhattan talking trash to the COO of the company, saying he has a small penis while you're employed by the company. So clearly, I think they're going to be done with Paige pretty soon, either fire, like just release her at this point. That I don't get. Maybe that's the only thing I don't get, is why they don't just release her. Other things that happened in relationship-wise, Dean Ambrose and Renee Young got married, apparently. Congratulations, I have nothing to say about that, because they keep their shit private. Unlike Del Rio and Paige, that they just have to tell everybody, you know? And you would think, like, you would not post videos of your drunk husband. It's just ridiculous. Can you stop? Can you make one right decision in the last 2 months of your life? Just one, I want. And then we had this whole story. The dirt sheets were ablaze. The crowds, the audience is chanting, fire JBL to JBL. And basically what happened is Moro Ronello kind of blames JBL for bullying him. Says that JBL is a bully for remarks that he made on Bring It to the Table. We heard the remarks on Bring It to the Table. They're not bullying. Justin Roberts posted that, of course, he bullied Ronello because he used to really bully Justin Roberts. And JBL's response to Justin Roberts is that he was an idiot. JBL tweeted that Justin Roberts is an idiot. It's just so, maybe he is, maybe he isn't. Maybe JBL is a bully. But for the fans to chant, fire JBL, like, who are you? Who the fuck are you? You don't know this story. Yeah, you've heard rumors that JBL is a bully. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. There's tons of wrestlers that have come out and said that he is. Then there's tons of wrestlers that have come out and said that he isn't. Maybe Moronello is a pussy. Maybe he's too sensitive. Or maybe he does have a problem. And, you know, he suffers from depression, which is very real thing. But to say that it's JBL's fault, that's a ridiculous thing. And for the fans to just come up and say, oh, we're going to decide his career. Like, who are... Get off your high fucking horse, internet community fans. Maybe he did bully Ronaldo. Maybe Ronaldo did quit because of that. But, you know, they also got to grow a pair. Because I'm sure he bullied a lot of other people and 98% of them didn't fucking quit and just took it and eventually got into his good graces. You know, a little ribbing. I don't know how severe the ribbing was. Like, that's the thing. Like, I can't really say. But for the fans to say fire him. Get a grip. I like JBL. I like that Otunga is gone from SmackDown and now he can bully. You know, he does bully a little bit. Texting a little bit. That's a fun little group, you know? I thought it's weird that Corey Graves didn't get moved to SmackDown since he's the commentator in 205 Live. This poor guy still has to work both dates. At least they took him off NXT. But Corey Graves, that's my boy right now for putting over Big Magic. Big time. Obviously, I had a little chat with him, you know, but he put him over. He even threw back to when 3.0 had a match against the Revival in NXT, he called them the Jamokes, and he said, you know, this guy, he's no Jamoke, so he clearly wanted to have a little throwback back to when they first arrived in the WWE scene. Very proud of my boy, Big Magic. So, that is for the dirt. We talked a little Del Rio being drunk, talked a little bit about how JBL is a bully, and Mauro Ranallo, like, come on. I never thought Mauro Ranallo was a good fit for WWE, to be honest. I used to watch this guy on Aftermath, which was a show that they have on Sportsnet after SmackDown or after Raw, and they just discussed the show, and Mauro had never anything good to say about WWE, like myself most of the time, but it's hard to listen to every week when somebody just shits all over it every week, probably like myself, but he was doing it on a show that was sponsored by the WWE. I thought that was a bit shitty. Like, you could shit on them a little bit, but you can't take them down that much, and he used to take them down. Like, he hated everything, and he had a real smirk on his face, and a real internet wrestling community type of guy, and I never liked him on that show, and he eventually quit, couldn't handle that show. So I didn't think it was a good idea for WWE to hire him in the first place. I thought there was a hilarious story that Justin Roberts brought up in his book about how JBL, one time they were on a bus in Europe, and Justin Roberts wasn't on his bus. So he made the buses stop so Justin Roberts could get on the JBL bus so JBL can bully Justin Roberts in front of everybody. It's just like, you know that Justin Roberts isn't reacting to this bullying properly. When somebody bullies you, like, there's ways to get around it. I was bullied as a child in elementary school, and I figured out ways to get a one-up on the bully where it wouldn't happen again because you embarrassed them. Just embarrass the bully in front of everybody. Or bully them back. If it's a rib, you know, be smart about it. You're only going to get bullied if you're not fucking smart about it. Bullying teaches you how to get, like, how to construct scenarios in social situations where you benefit. Bullying is something that is an obstacle that if you push through it, it'll make you a better person. It goes too far, absolutely. Maybe JBL did go too far. Maybe he didn't. I just don't think that it's up to the fans to decide whether or not he should get fired, okay? That's ridiculous. If Mauro quit just because of JBL, like, then he should have never taken the job in the first place, okay? Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, for the 50th episode of The Zo Show, the big announcement that I'm sure not a lot of people saw it coming. I've been contemplating about making this announcement for a couple of months. And I have to say, it's hard for me to say it. Like, it's hard for me to, I'm sitting here right now. It's hard because it's like a totality. It's a realization that I no longer want to do the podcast, ladies and gentlemen. And this will be the last podcast. And it's like I'm retiring, like in wrestling. And when I do that, I do it with a wink because a lot of people retire in wrestling and then they come back. So, like, is the door open for me to come back in a year or a couple months and say, hey, I want to do it again? Maybe. Like, maybe I'm retiring in a wrestling sense. Terry Funk retired a hell of a lot of times, you know? But I am retiring, meaning there won't be a Zo Show next week. So for the fans and the listeners that have been really supporting me throughout, you know, and trying to push the show and tell me what they like about the show, what they don't like about the show. The ones that really supported me since day one, I thank you. But for me, it's just too much work, and there's no monetary benefit. I told myself when I started the podcast that I would do it for a year and see if I start making some money or if I start, you know, having so many followers that it's benefiting me or where the work rewards it. And the podcast itself is rewarding. A place where I get to speak my mind, a place where I get to be myself and talk wrestling for 30 to 40 minutes. And, you know, it was satisfying, but eventually it just became, it's too much work for me. Like, it takes me about 2 to 3 hours to prepare. Then the podcast itself is about 45 minutes. And then to edit everything, it's another hour. So it's like a night of work. It's about 3 to 4 hours of straight work. And I don't really, besides just doing the podcast, which got old after a couple of, like, episode 38, I would say, it started to say, like, oh, I'm not having as much fun as I was before. And now we've reached episode 50. It's a landmark. I think it's a good way to finish it. A lot of people, they have those interview podcasts where they do interviews, then they get 5 or 6 interviews loaded up. Okay, so you do, in a day, you could do 3-4 interviews and then you have your month. Whereas here, I really do the work once a week. Like once a week, I put 4 or 5 hours into this every week. And it's just become too much where I'm fed up of the work. I'm fed up of the notes. I mean, I'm still going to watch Raw. I'm still going to pay attention to the dirt sheets. But it's like, I no longer want to put the work into it. And I know that I'm putting less work and effort into it every week. So I don't think the product is where it should be. Or the product is exactly where I wanted it to be. And I would like, you see, let's talk about the JBL thing and the Paige thing. Originally, I would have gone and gotten the quotes and gotten the, even given you clips of people talking about it and stuff like that. And now I just don't do it anymore because it's so much fucking work. And there's not enough benefit that I'm getting from it anymore. So I'm glad you enjoyed it. You got 50 episodes, guys. If you do want to listen to more, like, you could go to thezoshow.podomatic.com and the old episodes will still be up there. I don't know when I'll close the Facebook page. Eventually I will. Maybe I never will. Maybe it'll just stay open. All of that is up in the air. But for now, next week, for the foreseeable future, there will not be any more Zoshow shows. And I mean, like, what does it change? You know, like, I am sad that the listeners that do listen to this won't have the show anymore. And maybe next week I'll be like, fuck, I should have never done that. I want to do the show. But I know for now, I feel in my heart that I don't feel like doing it anymore. That's the sad reality of this, is that 50 episodes in, a lot of work put into it, a lot of effort, and I dread it now. It's just like, oh God, I got to do the podcast instead of go to the gym. Like, I don't know what it is. Maybe lifestyle change since I got the house. That could be it. You know, I got a house now to take care of. I have other work to do. But it's not that. It really isn't. What it is when it comes down to it, it's a lot of work. It's always been a lot of work. And for the last couple of months, it's kind of been like, okay, I'm not pushing it as much as I used to. I'm just doing it because I have to do it, because I have listeners that want me to do it. But I'm not making any money. And I'm not enjoying it as much as I used to. And I'm not saying that I got into this to make money. That wasn't the point initially. Like, that was never the initial point of getting into this. But that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for listening. Okay. Song of the week this week. The final song of the week this week is Seal. Crazy, amazing song. Who doesn't love this song? And the clip of the week this week is a clip of Scott Steiner. Like, way to go. A way to go out with the clip of the week. Scott Steiner, always entertaining us. This guy's a legend. And it's him doing a promo in TNA, and he's working out at the same time. So I want you to know that him grunting and squealing is because he's bench pressing and doing curls while he cuts this promo on Samoa Joe. If nobody has ever seen this feud between Samoa Joe and Scott Steiner in TNA, go to YouTube, do your homework. Type in TNA Scott Steiner Samoa Joe. I mean, a plethora of clips, a plethora of wrestling history. And check out that. And guys, that's it. It's crazy that I'm saying this, but this is it. I am retiring from the Zo Show, the episode 50 of the Zo Show, and that will be it. So thanks for listening, guys. Thanks for coming on the roller coaster with me. If you think, fuck, I knew he would quit one day, he didn't have it in him, or episode 50, it's a good way to go out. I'm proud of myself. I'm proud of doing 50 episodes. I'm retiring. Maybe I'll come back like a Terry Funk. Maybe I won't. And maybe I'll just ride off into the sunset. But that is it for the Zo Show, guys. Thanks for listening. Take it easy. Ciao.
Scott Steiner, I've got to ask you, how did your closed-door meeting go with Kurt Angle earlier tonight? Did you and Kevin, were you able to talk him down?
Talk him down? Why would I want to talk him down? See, if I was pissed off, I wanted nobody to talk me down. See, Kurt Angle has a side to him is as dark as mine. And if I was pissed off, I want not nobody to talk me down. See, the front line, they think they got an advantage now. They think it's going to make us weaker. No, the saying goes, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Okay.
Main Event Mafia, we're going to be strong because of this. We just got to work out a few kinks.
Gotcha. Okay, moving right along. I've got to bring up another subject. Samoa Joe.
Yo, first off, you want to work out with me? Take your clothes off and lay on that bench.
Whoa.
Seriously, take your clothes off, lay down on that bench. You want to work out with me?
No.
What else you want to know?
Samoa Joe, you heard his threat last week.
Threats? You call those threats? Just because he cuts his hair and paints his face, you think he threatened me? I beat him before, I'll beat him again. He's still a fat bastard. The only thing way I'd be afraid of him, if I was smothered in a Twinkie, or I was dressed as a hamburger. Why would I be afraid of him? I'm gonna beat some old Joe worse than I've ever been before. You got that? Now go take your clothes off. I'm working off. Huh?
Oh my.
I'm here, Scott. I'm right here.
Joe.
And right now I can crush that freshly repaired sternum. Oh, I'd love to tell you this won't hurt, Scott, but I know different. But you know what? I want you to think long and hard. I want you to think long and hard about what I'm going to do to you at Destination X. You talk about the mafia. I'm talking about a nation of violence, Scott. It's coming. It's coming. And Joe is going to kill you.
Oh, God.
Scott.